This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister Mary. How are you doing, Bear?
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, that's right, she's happy. And this week we are covering The Office, Season 5, Episodes 13 and 14, Prince Family Paper and Stress Relief, Part 1.
Yes.
Now, before we jump into these episodes, Bear, do you want to let everybody know what they missed on the last episode of the podcast?
Absolutely. So last week, we discussed Moroccan Christmas.
Great episode.
Where Phyllis got to throw her first official Christmas party as the head of the party planning committee. And it was, like, legit Moroccan themed. Michael, the bartender, overserved Meredith. She caught her hair on fire because she was dancing chaotically.
Maybe one thing we overlooked last week was that Michael overserved her.
Oh my god, 1,000%.
Like, he was, like, feeding the dragon.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, hey, this has a shot of every single liquor at my disposal. And 2 Splenda.
Yeah.
How many do you want? But, and so they had an intervention for her alcoholism at work in the middle of the Christmas party. And then Michael, because they all, like, Toby kind of put a stop to it. And then Michael, everybody thought that he got her to agree to go to rehab. And he was very somber and took her. And he tried to deposit one alcoholic at the rehab. But turns out you cannot deposit them against their will.
Yes.
And then we had the duel.
Yeah.
Because at the Christmas party, Phyllis outed Angela and Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
And she told everybody that her and Dwight were doing it, and she caught them.
And the only person who didn't hear it was Andy.
Yep.
Who was practicing.
Playing his sitar.
Yeah.
So, in the duel, Andy confronts Dwight about having sex with Angela, and how it's over. It's over between him and Angela.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight does not accept this, so they decide to go on a duel. Meanwhile, Michael is in New York telling David Wallace why his branch is so successful, which even he doesn't understand. So Andy and Dwight decide to go out to the parking lot on their break. Andy sneak attacks Dwight with his Prius because it's kept under 5 miles per hour, so it's silent, and pins him between the fence and the car. And then it comes out, Andy said, I can't believe she's sleeping with you and only slept with me twice.
The most ass-backwards sentence.
Yep.
Yeah, like, in that you can imagine. Like, the guy who's sleeping with the woman is shocked that the fiancé is sleeping with...
Well, that's just it. Dwight got so upset. He's like, wait, she's sleeping with you? She said she was only sleeping with me.
So ass-backward.
And they both dump Angela, and she leaves with no one.
Yes.
And,
I'm going to get to that eventually in either this podcast or the next one. I do want to touch upon stuff there.
Okay.
But, you know, that's what you missed last time. So this week, we'll start off with episode 13, Prince Family Paper.
Woo-woo.
And the cold open is Jim and Dwight at their desks. And Dwight notices a red wire coming out of the back of his computer. And he's like, very jittery about it. He's like, what is this? What is it? Like, he's very worried. And he starts, like, following it, tearing it up. It's duct taped to the floor. We follow Dwight going out the hallway. It's, like, all the way. He's out in the parking lot following this, which he didn't notice it when he was coming into work, apparently.
Yeah.
So he's going. He's following this red wire. And we get a talking head of Jim, where he says that there was a store by Dunmore High School. Was it?
Flea market.
A flea market by Dunmore High School. I was trying to rack my brain for what one, like, if it's a big one, it must be a little one.
Yeah, it must be a little
one. A local yard sale.
Yeah.
But he got a spool of 500 feet of red wire.
For 20 bucks.
Yeah, so it was a steal. And as he's talking, we see Dwight behind him out the window climbing a telephone pole, like a 1920s wiretapper. And Jim's just like, ah, he's okay, I got it up there. So, and that's your cold open. It's good stuff.
I enjoyed it. I forgot how funny that one was.
Yeah, because, like, Dwight's, like, paranoia.
Yeah.
Like, when you can play off of that, it's always money. So now
I love how he's, like, ripping it up and every... Like,
yeah, goes around
like, Dwight!
Yeah, he goes around her. It's, like, over her head.
He's like, shut up, woman!
He's, like, almost like Stewie Griffin when he says that shit. Shut up, woman! So Michael is on the line in his office with David Wallace.
What you talking about, Wallace?
Yes. And he wants Mike to do field work because they've never sold paper between Carbondale and Marshbrook. because there's a place called Prince Paper Company.
Yeah.
And he wants in on their market, so he wants Mike to do some recon. So then we are out in the office.
Why don't you send it over on a dinosaur if you're going to fax it?
Yeah, he's going to fax it. He's just like, send it by email if it's urgent.
He goes, Michael, this is serious. Oh, send it by email.
So Stanley is out in the office, and he thinks Hillary Swank, Hollywood starlet Hillary Swank, is hot. Phyllis does not. It turns into like a full office debate. Everybody gets in on it. They're like weighing in. I think she's hot. She's hideous.
I love Meredith. She's got mean eyes.
Yeah, well, Kevin's quote, she looks like a monster.
Yep.
I just love the fact that they're like, they had to clear this with her, I'm sure.
Oh my God, yeah.
But like, she is pretty much the test case for the hot and not debate. For, like, Hollywood, I think. Well, at this time. The only other one that comes to mind is Maggie Gyllenhaal, but I think a lot of people would say not.
All right. Well, I'll never forgive her. Kevin has a personal vendetta against Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Katie Holmes will always be Rachel Dawes to me.
Yes. For The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. No, not Rises. Just The Dark Knight. Because they did the right thing and killed her in that movie, so she wasn't in The Dark Knight Rises.
But, no, it's actually really funny because I watched these episodes for the first time through, and my husband is a casual watcher of The Office. He's not, like, a huge fan, which this was a sticking point in our marriage, yes?
No, yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
But, that's why you watch all those Marvel movies. We were watching it, and he goes, who are they talking about? And I go, Hillary Swank, and he goes, oh, yeah, she is kind of ugly.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, she's a nut.
She's kind of like a female John Elway. You know, like, like, you know how they say people have horse faces?
Mm-hmm.
Like a long face? She's kind of like, that's how I would describe her. And it's a very mean thing to say.
I just realized I'm
broadcasting it out to the world. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, she is ground zero for this debate, I feel.
Yeah, no, because there are people who are very...
Some people like certain things, some people don't. Like, it's all, like, eye of the beholder type of
shit. Oh, absolutely.
And obviously, like... You know, I think I come down on Kevin's side of things in this debate. Like,
that she looks like a monster.
No. As it goes on,
yeah.
What Kevin has to say, I kind of fall on his side, you know. But
well, it's funny because isn't this around the time Million Dollar Baby or like right after Million Dollar Baby?
It might have been a little early, yeah. But yeah, she was like, well, she did that movie where she was a boy or whatever.
Well, that was early 90s or late 90s.
Late
90s,
probably, yeah. And I'm trying to think what else she did. She did that. She won an Oscar. Was it for Million Dollar Baby?
Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, so she. Oh, that's right. They talked about Million Dollar Baby last season when. They were
so I think she was still like.
Yeah, she was.
This was probably around the time the Oscar buzz.
Well, this is like her peak, I think, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, they're hitting a topical point.
Yeah.
So Jim puts it to a vote. Angela abstains, and it's a tie vote.
Well, I love when Angela's like, I'm not voting on this, and Jim goes, nobody cares.
Yeah, but they do end up caring.
They do.
So Mike and Dwight are driving to their mission. Mike is going to act as a local businessman, Michael Scarn, in search of business, and Dwight is going to pretend to be a salesman in need of work.
Yes.
So Prince Paper, since 1968, the sign says.
Wait, did you completely, like, roll over the fact that Dwight's like, well, if they have a daughter, I'll seduce her.
Yeah,
Michael's
like,
no, I will. And he's like, you'll just fall in love with her. And, like, they get into this argument, and Dwight calls Michael a socialist?
Because he wants to go to IHOP, the International House of Pancakes. Dwight wants Denny's.
Calling him a socialist.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that immensely, actually. Yeah, so they just, like, bicker about that. So they get to Prince Paper, and Dwight and Mike are, again, in the car going over their plan. And they're going to use licking lips as the sign to leave.
Oh, this was, like, the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, Michael's just, like, doing this pleasure mouth routine.
Well, no, like, Michael was actually just, like licking your lips. Yeah. And then Dwight's like, no.
It turns graphic.
You have to get into, like, the Jessica Rabbit licking your lips.
Jessica Rabbit.
Like, I could just see, like, the way that they were licking their lips, I could see Jessica Rabbit doing
or
it.
Like,
that's all I'm saying.
I could see some guys at, like, 1:45 a.m. in the bar just, like... It's a very weird scene.
Very strange.
Michael does a talking head where he says, shark eats little shark. And, you know, they replace the sharks.
On and on.
Yeah, replace the sharks with paper companies. That's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So he enters. It's like a small little office.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a nice lady, there's a little girl, there's two guys.
Yep.
And they make him feel welcome. They're, like, really nice people.
They are.
And, you know, Mike sits down, he explains, oh, I'm a local businessman. I did work with a former paper company, but they didn't make me feel like a priority
because
they had so many customers. Like, how many clients do you have? The guy says 80. And Michael's just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He's like, that seems like a lot. So the guy just goes, well, it's just me, my wife, my son. I set up this business after Vietnam. And Michael just says, oh, I hear it's lovely there.
Vietnam, I hear it's lovely. And the guy's face is just like, what?
Well, he wants business, so he just goes, yeah. Just like, uh-huh. Now we see, back at the office, Andy is posting pics of Swank. And each person, like, the people are split into camps here.
Yeah.
There's, like, people on each side. And they're having, like, a trial-style arguments.
Dude, this was, like, ridiculous. It brought me back to high school to debate.
Debate, yeah. Like, in speech class, when you had to do the persuasive speech. So Kevin specifies between hot and beautiful. And by saying, a painting can be beautiful, but I don't want to bang a painting. Oh, God, it's beautiful.
It's attractive versus hot.
Yes. And so Michael is back. He's with the guy. Dwight storms in looking for a job.
My God.
And the guy says, well, we're not looking to hire right now. Dwight points to his son and goes, fire him. I'm your new son.
Yeah. You can visit him on holidays.
So brusque.
Dude.
So Jim is now arguing for Swank being hot. And he has Kevin close his eyes. And Jim starts whispering really close to him about, like, fantasizing Hillary Swank coming
Imagine
in here.
She read your online profile.
She says, Kevin Malone, I want to do you.
I want to make out with you.
I want to make out with you.
Hard right now.
So, like, Kevin opens up his eyes. He nods to Jim.
Well, and yeah, because he's like, oh, is she hot now, Kevin?
And he switches sides. But before he sits down, he reverses. He goes, is she hot? Not would you do her. Respect the game. And, like, Angela's just, like, straight up appalled at this point. She's like, ew, like, what the fuck? You're objectifying this woman. You
know? Dude, when he's like, respect the game, I'm like, that is amazing.
Like, I just imagine Kevin out, like, on the b-ball court, like, doing a pickup game, saying shit like that. So, Dwight is being interviewed by the son at Prince Paper, and he craps on his boss at his current employer, Dunder Mifflin. And what's he say about Mike?
He could, his behavior could border on the cruel. He doesn't listen. Like
Mike's a slave driver.
Yeah,
or something,
essentially.
You know?
Like,
and like Michael interrupts. He's like, hey, how's that interview going? Like, get on task. Why are you shitting on me?
Like, Dwight is such a better actor than Michael.
It's it's hilarious. Like,
Dwight's
Michael.
Almost like, it's going fine, yeah. Sir.
Michael like blows it up. So he asks the woman at the desk, the wife of the big prince, if he could take a picture of her, and he makes sure that she's right to the side of this huge wall map they have of all their businesses, and he takes a picture. But then, like, the little girl asks for help with a math problem.
Oh, my God.
I can't even describe what Michael does. I don't know if he's dealing with exponents or algebraic equations. He's
all
like,
I can think of is please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, parentheses, exponents.
Foil. First, outside, inside, last.
Yeah, but I also learned, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, you do parentheses first, then exponents.
Multiplication.
Then, yeah, then.
Division.
And then
subtraction.
And then subtraction.
Yeah. Oh, no. Addition, subtraction.
Yeah.
Aunt
my dear
Sally.
Aunt Sally.
Yes. But Michael botches it. And the girl, like, thinks she gets the answer. And as Michael walks away, the old woman comes up to her. And she's like, you don't want to do that, honey.
He's like, oh, don't put that.
It's hilarious. No,
because he's like, ignore that little two. Ignore that X, like, half of the question.
Mm-hmm. So now Kevin is making an argument again, I guess, at this point. And Angela interjects. And she votes for hot because Kevin is a pig, essentially.
Yep.
That's her whole thing. Back
and then doesn't she say something about being a young Boris
Becker? Boris Becker, the old tennis player.
Yes,
yeah.
He was a former number one in the world tennis player.
So now
number one in Germany.
We know who tripped Angela's trigger in the 1980s.
And I also have to wonder, though, is there a connection to him being German with Dwight's
There's always an offer. There's always the, you make that allowance to an extent.
Right.
Because Dwight says something, I don't know if it's the next episode or one of the ones after that I watched, where he lays out something, like a case, and there's like a strong hint of German to
yes.
it. It's really funny. Back at Prince Paper, Michael thanks the man, and the dude gives Michael his top customers as references to call them in, and Michael is just like awestruck, like, oh, these are your top customers?
Yeah.
So Dwight, excuse me, sir, I took the bus here. Can I have a ride home with you?
That was the most awkward thing.
Yeah. And, like, they run out, basically, and, like, they run to the car. They're all giddy as schoolgirls, and Mike ends up running over and then
the parking block.
Yeah, and then backing over it again. And the fucking grill of the PT Cruiser is hanging off.
Well, I love Dwight's like, floor it!
Yeah, like, get out of here. They're looking through the window.
Oh, my God.
So Toby is now staring at the pictures of Hilary Swank. And he says, he turns around and just goes, nah.
Yeah, he shakes his head and shrugs, like, meh.
And then Kelly freaks out, if she's not hot, I'm not hot! And she starts crying.
Yeah, she does.
Took it personally. So Mike and Dwight are, like, looking at the wreckage of the PT Cruiser, and the family runs out, and they're offering to help, and Michael's like, no, you really don't need to.
You've done enough already.
Yeah, and
Dwight's like, you've done more than you could ever imagine.
And he's like, ha ha, like this evil look. So now Pam is making an argument. Are we going to let Kevin decide? He doesn't even have full internet access, she says. And Kevin just goes, what? Oscar has a fucking big, like, what do we
mean? He has a projection.
A projection of her face with, like, all these lines across it. And
killing symmetry.
Yeah, lines of symmetry on her face. He's using science at this point. He goes, she's attractive. She is not hot. And Jim's face, Jim looks like a bomb.
He's like, what the fuck?
He's like, people are taking this a lot more seriously.
Yep.
So the dad and the son are, like, duct taping the bumper onto the PT Cruiser.
And they have bungee cords. Yeah.
And the woman comes out. She has cups of coffee for them. And Michael's just like, you're really too nice. Like, yeah, you don't need to do this.
Yeah, this is too much. Coffee's too much.
And Dwight shits all over the coffee.
He's like, oh, what is this, instant?
So Michael, like, you could tell he's beginning to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And on the ride back, Dwight is gloating, but Mike is all stoic. He's, like, not even talking. He's just staring straight ahead. So they're back in the office, and Mike is worried about the family. Like, why does he want to hurt them?
Yeah.
He's having, like, an ethic dilemma.
He's like, what is Wallace going to do with this information if I hand it over? Mm-hmm. And Dwight's like, oh, it's simple. He will use that information to destroy them. Just, like, cut and dry, and no big deal.
Michael says his heart says no to give the names over, and Dwight says his heart makes bad decisions, and that's when Michael says, Jan and Ryan.
But you should use your brain for business.
Mm-hmm. And then Dwight, you know, pretty much cut. Because Dunder Mifflin is... See, this is really ethical delivery. This is what Holly should have been doing in that seminar. Mm-hmm. He says, if we don't do this to them, someone else will. And someone else will do it to us. Because let's be honest, in business, it's fucking cutthroat.
Yeah.
And he like, it sounds cold and callous, but there's not a lot of, like, fibbing in that. Like, that's all fact.
Business is the most personal thing there is.
Staples is trying to do it to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So Stanley is now making his argument, and he says at his age and life expectancy, he's not going to be one to put his nose up at an attractive woman. She is hot.
Yes.
And it's funny because, like, his tie is down. Like, he is like a lawyer, like a southern lawyer, like fucking Matlock or something.
Like, oh my God. Well, the way he starts it off, though, I'm trying to be more positive about things, like he had an epiphany. Well,
he says, what, I have 20, maybe 30 years left? A lot left with family history. Such a great line. So Dwight uses Lord of the Rings as an analogy to sway Mike, where he's talking about Mordor or some fucking thing.
Yeah,
he
had to destroy the ring in order to shield the good.
I've never seen...
No, that's what Dwight said.
Oh,
I've
okay.
never seen them either. Which I brought up to my husband as well, and he's like, how the fuck did we get married?
I was going
to
say, he seems like a Hobbit guy.
Out of 10 years together, how have we not watched that together?
Yeah, an ex of mine tried to get me into them, and we watched half of, I think, the first movie. And there's, like, orcs they're called or something. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What, they're, like... I don't know. I wasn't into it at all. I'm like, Elijah Wood looks more feminine than he ever did. I liked him on Wilford.
I'm gonna give it a shot. Yo, Wilford was hilarious.
Wilford was a great show. And, like, that's the thing is, like, I'm watching this because this was after Wilford. And he was in Sunshine of the Spot. What is it? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey.
He was in that?
He was in that. Like, I knew who Elijah Wood was. And then I see him as, like, a hobbit. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I was just watching. I'm like, I just don't give a shit.
I mean, I'm going to give it a shot.
And fucking Rudy was in it. Sean Astin, right? Isn't he in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, his fat ass is in there.
Huh. I'm going to give it a shot. I can't shoot it down.
It's nothing great. It's just, like, whatever. I just don't get the whole hobbit
Dumbledore
thing.
Is in there, right?
Who?
Or the second Dumbledore?
I don't know. Is that Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I don't do Harry Potter. Never saw
Jesus
that either.
Christ.
Guys, we've talked about this before. We're not fucking... We're nerds, but we're not those nerds. We're not the nerds who wear, like, the knee breeches. We don't wear, like, shirts
with
ruffles.
We don't do the cosplay.
Yeah, well, we don't... We also don't do fantasy. We do sci-fi.
Yeah.
We don't do the fantasy shit.
Yeah.
Well, although, I think you're a Potter person, right?
I read the books, but I'm not like, let's go get a butter beer.
What's that?
It's a drink in the books.
You know, that reminds me of the dumbest wrestling thing of all time. All
right, well, we're off on a tangent.
No, because Bret Hart's Canadian, and he was doing a promo one time, and he misspoke. He goes, our beer tastes butter. I don't know. It just popped in. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, back
so
to
So Dwight uses it. He sways Mike. But then Michael takes the client list and just, like, runs away. And Dwight freaks out and chases him. They go outside, and Mike forgot his keys. So he's, like, chugging. He turns around, chugs back upstairs. At this point, it's like Rosdauer in The Final Sacrifice, where it's like, he's like,
he's like, what is it, like 30 yards?
He's like fucking winded. He grabs his keys, goes back outside. God. Dwight's chasing him the whole time. Dwight yells, "It's business, it's not personal." Mm-hmm. And he finally catches him back outside, and he takes the list, and Mike's too tired to grab it back from him. So that's like a whole thing. So the vote is still tied, and everyone continues to argue in the office. Wallace is on the phone with Michael in his office and thanks him for his service. And Michael did a talking head where he says, "It's bittersweet because I destroyed a family, but sweet because David Wallace thought I did a great job."
Yep. But I love how Dwight is in there and he's like, "Look whose stock just went up, golden boy.
Golden boy." The end card is Michael walking by. Nobody's done a fucking thing of work today.
Not at
Michael
all.
Is just, like, allowed it to happen. And he's walking by everybody out in the office, and he sees the photos of Swank, and he just goes, she's hot. And, of course, everybody on Jim's side is like, we won! Yep. We won! Hillary Swank is hot! So I guess that's how they got her permission to do that episode. As long as you say I'm hot!
As long as you end it well.
Yeah. So that is that episode. Mare Bear, what did you give it?
I gave it a 3.2.
3.9.
Okay.
All right, so we're on the same page. We don't think it's great, but we don't think it's bad.
But
it's like
funny.
A middle of the road. Yeah,
it was funny. And I really like that it kind of showed, like, Michael's sensitive side, like his empathetic side.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Really is like, when I said it's like an ethical dilemma, it really is. He's just like, do I want to do this for my... Because he's doing
for
it for
my own
his own self-preservation.
Yeah.
Or do I want to destroy this family?
Because his family is so nice. But I love when he takes the list and Dwight's like, where are you going with the list? And he's like, just taking it somewhere where I can't hurt anybody!
But, I mean, overall, like, I didn't even really take many notes on this one because I don't think there was a lot of implications.
No, it was just entertaining.
Yeah, the whole Swank thing is just fun.
Yeah.
And, like, the Mike thing is deeper on a more than they typically do.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
I just keep going back. The thing that sticks in my head about this episode is when Kevin says, even when they revealed the penis was fake, I was waiting for them to reveal that she really did have a penis.
Yeah,
and that's when Angela's like, fuck you, Kevin. Yeah. You deserve to lose.
That's the one, because I wrote in there that they argued, and that's when Angela came in. I forgot that's what Kevin said.
He's
I should have waited
for them to reveal that Hillary Swank really did have a penis.
Like, how are they going to do that? They're just going to do it, and she's going to flop it out or something? Like, I am curious. Yeah. How are you going to show Hillary Swank's penis in this
movie? Oh, my God.
But overall, it was a fine episode. Really, it's kind of one of those ones that I think we talk about that are, like, self-contained. They're not part of a broader narrative. And, like, it's one of those things where it's not like I'd seek this episode out, but if it was on in the background while I was doing stuff around the house. Yeah, if it was on in the background, I was doing something else, I'd be like, oh, okay, this is a fine one to have.
It wouldn't be like Chair Model.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that fucking bad. But, you know, it's a good episode. So, I guess that's pretty much we don't have much to talk about.
Yeah, it was a solid ep. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
So, what are we doing next, Bear?
Next, we have Season 5, Episode 14, Stress Relief, Part 1. Right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceFedation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to the halftime intermission portion of the show. This is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. So right now I'm going to tell you what you can find over there. Some of the shows on the Place to Be Nation pop feed are the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. DC4U, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are going back through the history of Marvel Comics. Laughing Theater, a live-watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton. The Brother-Sister Rewatch Podcast. The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of arguments on topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler Podcast, Our Spectacular, brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. This week in the NFL, Cowboy and D'Amato take you through recaps and previews of each week of the NFL season, although now it should be the XFL! It's getting big! It's getting fun! I enjoy
it. Who's your team?
The Dallas Renegades, who had an awful, awful week recently. Mm. By the time this show comes out, they'll have played another game. However, the game this past week was the Houston Roughnecks and Renegades. Mm. It's the Texas Throwdown, two best Jesus teams in the West, Christ. And the Renegades had five turnovers and lost their quarterback. It's fucking brutal. So the NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world. Baseball season's about to start. Go Yankees, right?
Yeah, spring training.
You couldn't care less.
Nope.
Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park-focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Looking Forward, Looking Back, Pop Culture, hosted by Andy Atherton and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back, Sports, hosted by The Cowboy. Each look ahead to upcoming seasons and events, as well as looking back at recently finished ones, plus special topical podcasts and podblasts, like Pop Goes to the Movies, Pop Goes Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a deep dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be Podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Ginny and the Gyms, Body Pressure Lock, and so much more. So subscribe today. While you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Ginny Position Feed as well, as is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. Social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now done. However, you can vote on the greatest sports logo now is the new tournament.
Yep.
The pretty picture. That's how you pick your fucking March Madness teams. Are they a tiger?
No, that's football teams. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
No, March Madness when it's the bracket of 64.
No, I know Zags. I know Gonzaga.
dropping Gonzaga.
Duke.
Name another one.
I know the number one teams.
Who is that? Name another one. Okay. You name two. Duke and Gonzaga. Okay.
Duke, Gonzaga, North Carolina.
Okay, they're horrible this year, but yeah.
See, I know the team.
All you knew is naming colleges. That's all you have to do. So,
the Tar Heels.
Fuck them. I hate them. Penn State's going to be in this year, though. Penn State's ranked. That's crazy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Their basketball team is great this year.
It's awesome.
Fucking great.
We are.
Not going to make it past the Sweet 16. We have officially kicked off the 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Pauly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. Don't forget about weekly veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Mayor Bear, put us over.
All right, guys. Remember, we always like to keep it funky fresh on that Twitter page. You can reach us at BroSisPodcast. We like to, you know, include our favorite screen grabs from each episode.
Did you do that this week?
Of course I did.
That face. Oh, too bad this is an audio visual.
I question myself sometimes.
An audio medium, sadly.
I don't remember if we had any from
We had Oscar's
week.
Gasp. I remember.
Oh, yes. I
there will. It is. You got to post yes. Oscar's Gasp.
I will post that
anyway.
Right after this. But anyway, we like to put those. Kevin likes to make me. He likes to give me reminders.
Yes.
To
on air.
Post those on air. Peer pressure. But we like to interact with our fan base on there. So, again, that is at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. And also, you can reach out to us via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We love to hear your feedback. If you hate Kevin's voice, you think I'm hilarious, please let us know.
Probably closer to reality than I want to admit. Yeah.
Again, that is brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com and on Twitter at brosispodcast.
So what are we doing now, Bear? I think we are on Season 5, Episode 14, Stress Relief Part 1, right?
We are. Right. Okay, guys.
This is a big one.
I'm just going to warn you guys on this one, okay? This is a two-part episode. I will be reviewing both parts, but part two will be for next week's podcast. Yes. But this is probably one of my favorite cold opens of the entire series.
It's my favorite one so far.
And it's going to be, I know we had that joke email at the beginning, oh, every time Mary does a direct quote. Yes. But for this one, it's almost necessary to really get you immersed into
you have to describe.
Situation.
Yeah, this is manic, chaotic.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
So, we're going to get started now.
Yes.
So now, our cold open. Everybody's acting normal around the office, walking around. Like, Jim's at Andy's desk showing him something. And Dwight kind of nudges the cameraman, like, hey, look at this. Pulls open his drawer, and he has lighter fluid and, like, a torch.
Yes.
Like a blowtorch
mm-hmm.
in his desk, like wrapped up in a handkerchief. So then he brings the cameraman with him, and it's around the exterior of the exits of the office. And he breaks a key off in the door. He locks it and breaks the key off in the door handle. And he explains that he recently gave a fire safety talk and that he felt nobody paid attention to him. And he is now using the blowtorch to heat up the doorknobs.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Kevin McAllister shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Legit.
Okay. Like, I imagine everybody going up to the door and it's like Joe Pesci when he's like spanking it.
Right? He's like, fucking, he puts, like,
he puts
the door stops.
Yeah, wooden wedges under the door.
Yeah, under
and hammers
the door
them
so you can't open them. He's literally fucking heating up every doorknob with this blowtorch.
He's booby-trapping the office.
Yeah, Joe Pesci is gonna get caught here. Okay, then he puts the lighter fluid on newspaper in a trash can in, like, a back hall, like, an exterior hallway, essentially, and he lights a cigarette with the blowtorch, and he just goes, today, smoking is going to save lives, and tosses the cigarette into the fucking garbage can, and then the bottle of the lighter fluid right in there, too.
Whoosh! Thing goes up.
And he closes the door, and he walks back to his desk, and he, like, he's looking...
Acting normal.
Yeah.
Kinda, trying to.
Trying to. But then you see, like, the smoke come out under the door, and he's looking back there. He's looking at Pam. Pam's looking at her computer. Andy's looking at his computer.
Nobody notices.
And he's like, oh, do you guys smell anything smoky? And Angela's like, did you bring in your jerky again? And then Dwight's like, and Pam finally sees, and she doesn't even say. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. All right, guys, this is when the fucking chaos begins.
Shit hits the fan.
So everybody's like, oh, my God, fire, fire. And Dwight is shouting, what's the procedure?
Yeah, he's acting like a fucking tour guide. Like, he's remain calm.
Pam is yelling, the phones are dead. Everybody's freaking out. Dwight is yelling.
Yeah, he killed the phones, too.
Yeah, because he looks at the camera like, well.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, my God. Michael comes out of his office. He's like, it's happening.
The famous gif there.
Yes. Yeah. So then they run to the door, and Dwight's like, Michael, make sure you test the handle to see if it's too hot. There could be a fire on the outside. And Michael, like, does that. He, like, taps it, and he goes, what does warm mean?
Yeah, it's lukewarm. My favorite part is when he runs to the door and goes, everybody remain fucking calm! Yeah. He just drops an F-bomb.
It's amazing.
It's good shit.
So then, because it's warm, everybody runs to the back door. And Oscar and Andy are testing the door handles back there. And Oscar's like, oh my god, my hand is hot!
He burns his fucking hand.
Andy's like, oh my god, it's warm back here too! And, like, Michael then goes, everybody for themselves!
There's no sense of decorum.
We're trapped! We're trapped! And then the cameraman gets stampeded.
Yeah, by Kevin.
Just chaos ensues. Dwight is saying, have you ever seen a burn victim? Like, he's yelling this into the crowd. Then we see Angela. She runs over to a filing cabinet behind her desk.
This is
she
weird.
There's a cat in the bottom drawer, like, on a blanket in the filing cabinet.
She has its own bed in the filing cabinet. Like, it's living in the filing cabinet.
Oscar is like, he's going through the ceiling. He's like, I'm going for help. Stay alive.
Stay alive.
And she goes, pull me up. And he's like, you're too heavy. She goes, I only weigh 82 pounds. She throws the cat up and says, save Bandit. Bandit comes crashing through another ceiling tile.
The cat goes
side.
Up and then blows through the other fucking part of the ceiling and just crashes onto a desk. Just like this fucking limp cat flying around. Oh, God.
Dwight's screaming, 911, anyone? Michael tries breaking a window. Kevin breaks and pillages the vending machines in the break room.
No, this is like New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina when people are
looting everything.
Yeah, it's just fucking insane.
And Dwight is just yelling, use your surge of adrenaline to sharpen your decision-making skills. Jim is like, I am not dying in here. Mm-hmm. And then, fucking... Dwight lights firecrackers.
Yeah, he just lights firecrackers.
And he just throws them behind so nonchalantly. And they're all like, oh my god, what is that? Phyllis is terrified. Andy says, the fire is shooting at us. Dwight pulls the fire alarm. Oh, I'm sorry, before that.
Yes.
Andy and Jim unplug the copier that apparently was a piece of shit to begin with.
Yeah.
And I don't understand this part.
They're trying to break down the door with it.
Because I get that. They are. They're running it into doors. But all of the exits... had fire behind them.
Well, you're desperate.
Yeah, I guess.
And then Michael threw a fucking projector through the window.
I was getting
sorry.
He breaks the window with the projector like the ones in high school.
Yeah, the overhead projector.
Yeah, and he's screaming, help! Help us! Can you imagine Bob Vance out in the parking lot like, the fuck those did guys, Scott do now?
Those guys who sold him a $200 Caprese salad. Insane.
Like, what did they do now? Dwight pulls a fire alarm. And he announces that it was just,
a drill.
It was a simulation. Yeah. And Stanley is, like, terrified. He's like, I can't breathe. And
he's holding his chest.
Yeah. And he's like, it wasn't real, Stanley. He collapses. And he goes, wasn't real, Stanley. Don't have a heart attack. everybody is pissed off. And then... Oscar comes down out of the ceiling because he's still up there.
Well, at one point earlier on, his legs came through. Like, he crashed through the ceiling. He's, like,
and
just dangling.
A picture of Creed screaming.
Yeah, Creed goes, ah! Fucking madness. This whole scene is just crazy. I love it.
Then Michael runs over to collapse Stanley, and he's like, no, Stanley, you will not die. Barack is president. You are black, Stanley. You will not die. And he's like, I'm going to give him mouth to mouth. And everybody's like, no, Michael, don't do that for this.
Yeah.
Not for this. He's trying to shove his wallet into his mouth, like as if he is having a seizure so he doesn't swallow his tongue.
So great.
It was...
It's like 5 minutes.
It's a quarter of the episode, but it was so... worth it.
Yeah, oh, it's great. This whole scene is just...
It's chaos.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, like, Angela has a cat living in the office. And she fucking
everybody
throws it through the
ceiling. Fucking calm!
Yeah, remain fucking calm! She's
everybody for themselves!
There's a cat through the ceiling. They're trying to break down doors. Oscar's falling through. Like, is that the shot of Creed going, ah! His face is like a fucking ghoul. Oh, it's all great. All great.
Oh, my God. It's Kevin breaking the vending machine.
Yeah, he's raiding it. Oh, so great.
But you know what I love, though? While, like, Michael is screaming at Stanley, don't die, did you notice Kevin is in the background with an armful of fucking bags of chips
cradling
eating?
Them. Cradling
he's
them.
He's eating while Stanley's having a heart attack. Oh, my God.
Awesome scene.
So, Dwight and Michael are now in... meeting with Dave Wallace, and who I'm assuming is Kendall, corporate HR?
Either that or, like, a lawyer for the company,
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
About Dwight setting the fire, and basically, like, the lawyer or Kendall, whoever the fuck it is, he's like, did you scream fire, inciting a panic? And Dwight's like, yes, I did shout fire. I also shouted instructions. So imagine how frustrated I was that no one listened to me. Michael is trying to help. He's like, we're not mad, just disappointed. And David Wallace is like, no, we're mad. And yeah. Michael's like, well, we're going to let this one slide. And he's like, no, we're not. We could fire you. Somebody almost died, Michael. Do you not understand that? That's your responsibility. And
you want that on your conscience?
Yeah, but Dwight's like, first of all, nobody died, and Stanley was attacked by his own heart. Jeez. Yep, that's Dwight for you. Mm-hmm. So then Michael's like, okay, how about this? We strip him of the safety officer title, and then we force Dwight to donate to money of his salary to a charity he does not like. And Dwight just goes, ugh, PETA.
He's actually heartbroken about losing the safety committee
he
thing
is
or whatever.
The safety officer.
Yeah, he's actually pissed about that.
Yeah, but so David, again, he's like, Michael, you have to take responsibility here. Michael is just silent.
Mm-hmm.
So they're driving home, and again, Michael, it's kind of like how he was when he left Prince Paper.
Yeah.
Very solemn, like you could tell he's thinking, and Dwight's like, oh, I love how corporate thinks they can make a deal, like changes in a 20-minute meeting.
Uh-huh.
He thinks it's like no big deal. And then he says, if you thought that was good, wait till you see the bomb scare I'm planning to really get the blood pumping. The fuck?
Awesome.
And Michael is like, Dwight, I have a man's life in my hands. And he's like, you're no longer a safety officer. I'm doing it. And Dwight's like, what? No, you can't do that to me. So now we're back at the office. It's, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, a few days later.
Yeah.
And Stanley's back. And there's a welcome Stanley, welcome back Stanley sign.
Everybody's whispering.
Yes. Michael walks up and he's whispering to Stanley. And there's a talking head of Stanley, and he goes, you know, in the past, I have not been very, I forget how he says it, but, like, patient, mm-hmm. essentially, with people. And then they show the montage of Stanley yelling at people.
Pretzel day.
Boy, have you lost your damn mind? Because I help you find it.
No,
did I stutter? Nuh-uh, no cuts. Like, which, speaking of pretzel day, my company, like, on-site people, they're having, like, a morale week, and one of their things is pretzel day.
They have pretzel day?
They do. It's so, to one of the girls I used to hang out with and to that HR friend of mine, I sent them the montage of, every day I wake up in a bed that's too small, drive my daughter to a school that's too expensive, go to work where they don't pay me enough. But pretzel day? Ooh, I like pretzel day. It was too perfect not
no,
to.
No, the fact that a company actually does that.
Right?
That just blows my mind.
I would only hope that they would have 18 different toppings.
The works.
The works. But anyway, Stanley...
They put Stanley in a wheelchair.
They did.
Yeah.
Which, Stanley said, the doctor said if I can't find a new way to relate more positively to my surroundings, I am going to die. And that's when Andy's like, a throne for your dome or something like that. He did some stupid rhyme.
Yeah, because he's
And
Andy.
He's like, I am not saying that. And Michael goes, until you're back up on your feet again, yes you will. He's back on
he's
his
standing,
feet.
Yeah.
And so then we go back to Stanley. He goes, I am going to die. He does not believe that he's going to live. And he's like, I feel like I'm working in my own coffin.
Yes. We all feel that way.
So now we're back in the conference room. Which, did you notice that the window is boarded
yes,
up?
Yes,
from the projector going through it? And there's this now there's this woman who said that she's explaining the ABCs. There's a dummy on the floor with no arms and legs. And we find out that she's a CPR instructor. The ABCs of CPR is airway, breathing, and circulation, which Michael says, that's too confusing because in sales it's always be closing. Because those two scenarios are so easily
yeah,
confused.
Totally.
And Dwight is like, this is a farce. I should be teaching this course. And Michael, like, puts him down. He's like, no. Stop it.
Like a bad dog.
Right?
Like Achilles.
And so Michael... Achilles is not a bad dog.
Sure.
Michael is explaining that they were underprepared when Stanley's heart decided to go berserk. And he said, I knew exactly what to do, but in a much more real sense, I had no idea what to do. Which is pretty relatable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he now has the Red Cross come in. And they're doing a CPR training course. Kevin is doing compressions on the dummy, and he gives up. He's like, call it. And the lady's like, or he goes, I can't do this forever. She goes, it's been 20 seconds. And he goes, call it.
Time of death.
Time of death. And so then Michael's like, Stanley, you should go. You should go. And everybody's like, no, Michael, he needs his rest. And he's like, there's no rest for the sick. What are you going to do if you're alone and your heart gives out? And he goes, I would likely die. He goes, I'm not okay with you being okay with that. And he goes, I'm okay with the logic of it. And then we hear to Stanley, and he explains that he would quit, but he's too old to find another job. He doesn't have enough saved to retire. And that's when he's like, I feel like I'm working in my own casket.
That's right.
So now we see Stanley, and he's, like, doing the compressions, and Michael is literally on top of him going, harder, Stanley, yeah, this is you!
Pushing him.
Yeah, this is you! And Stanley's like, I can't do this anymore. So now Michael's down there, and he's like, fine, I'll do it. And he goes, he's not breathing. He also has no arms or legs. Should we even bother if we find somebody with no arms and legs? Should we bother? I mean, what's their quality of life? And Kevin's like, I would want to live with no legs, Michael. And he goes, yeah, how about no arms, Kevin? That's how you live right... That's how you exist right now, Kevin. You do nothing.
Like, shit's over, Kevin.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Harsh, no shit's on Kevin. So now the instructor is like, okay, well, you're not, you know, like, doing 100 beats per minute. You should do it to the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's like, oh, I know that one. At first I was afraid, I was petrified.
Yeah, he starts singing Gloria Gaynor.
I will survive. So now the instructor corrects him. And then Creed, out of nowhere, goes, you were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
I wrote that down because it's brilliant.
It's so ridiculous.
It is no... Like, there's nothing
even
that leads
Michael
to it.
Is like, he's like, what? The instructor and him are both like, okay, anyway.
They
like,
just move on. So awesome.
It was so beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. So Michael's singing, and then he's singing. Andy starts harmonizing and then singing. Kelly gets up and she starts dancing. Michael stops pumping. And everybody's singing and dancing
in
the conference room. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then the lady's like, well, you stopped. Like, you lost them because you stopped pumping and nobody called 911. And Dwight's like, do you know what the next step is, Rose? And she goes, no, I have no idea. And he's like, check if he's an organ donor. Does he have an organ donor card on him? And Creed's like, nope, I checked. No wallet. So fuck Creed. Robbing a dummy. And then Dwight's like, well, you only have minutes to harvest the organs. Pulls a knife out of an ankle holster.
Yeah.
Cuts this dummy's chest open. And he's like, oh, looking for the crown jewel, the precious heart. And Stanley's like, I'm not feeling well.
He's dizzy.
Everybody rushes to like get him into a chair. And then all of a sudden, you just hear... Wait. Yeah, that one.
It's like a helicopter noise.
Yeah. And you turn around. Dwight has the dummy's face over his face.
He cut
his
it off.
Glasses are on the dummy.
Yeah.
And you just hear him go, Clarice. Like Hannibal yeah. Lecter.
Oh, yeah.
And Angela just screams.
Yeah, everybody's like, what the
Dwight!
Fuck? Like, the way he turns around, it's just fucked up.
He's like, got his head is leaning back like... Yeah. Dude, so now we're back in a meeting with Dwight, David Wallace again, and he's like, Dwight, why did you have to cut the face off the dummy? And he goes, thought it, it looked very unrealistic in the movie. Turns out it's very realistic. And he's like, it cost us $3,500 to replace. And, yeah.
And Michael says, a dummy costs $5,300. And of course, Wallace is like, what the fuck is happening in Scranton?
Oh my god. Huh. But they're the best fucking branch.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So now Michael's like, well, we had to do it because now Dwight knows not to cut the face off of a person.
That's what these are for. Live and learn.
Yeah.
Now
and
we
David
know.
David Wallace's face is just like, I don't even know how to fucking respond to that.
Yep.
Like, who would cut a person's face off? So now we're back at the office and Pam, Jim, and Andy are watching a pirated movie with Jack Black, starring Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman, ladies and gentlemen. This is around
Jack
the time
Black,
she did Lake Placid 2.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, on Sci-Fi okay. with Bo Duke, I think it was.
Yes.
Do you remember that movie with the yes. giant fucking alligators?
Oh, I do.
That's hilarious.
So the pirated movie stars Jack Black, Cloris Leachman, and Jessica Alba.
She was in that?
That was the original girlfriend.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I had my eyes out. Now,
has she done much? She hasn't done much in years.
She has her own, like, beauty company.
She's not, like, an actress anymore, though, right?
I don't think so.
Because I haven't seen her in anything. Like, that name is even still, like, catching me off guard. I'm like, well, Jessica Alba, I haven't even thought about her in years.
What's that one? Oh, Good Luck Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, that How did we know we were even thinking that was, of the same movie?
Even that was, like, 2008.
Yeah, it was when Dane Cook was popular.
Yeah, like, that was a long time ago.
Employee of the Month.
Employee of the Month had promise as someone who worked retail in college.
It had promise.
That had a lot of promise. It did not deliver.
No. Jessica Alba.
No, it was Jessica Simpson in that
Oh,
one.
Simpson, that's right.
I know, like, and Dax.
I didn't mind Dax. It was Jessica Simpson. She's
and
just
Pedro
an
was
idiot.
In it, too. Pedro.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're watching this movie, and as Jack Black meets Cloris Leachman's character, Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True, Grandma. Been on a Hall & Oates kick lately.
Oh, I went through a whole thing when I was listening to them at the gym. And it's funny because I'd be like on one
you
of the...
You get so pumped,
I'd
man.
Be on the elliptical or something and I'd put like I'd be playing their videos on YouTube and shit. And people are probably looking at me because like, I'd do some air drumming too.
Yeah.
And I'd hit
those
high notes.
Oh, yeah, my brother-in-law called you out on that one.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
he
that's
texted
fine.
Me and he's like, your brother's doing air drums
at
the gym.
Yeah, he
on the
sees
treadmill.
Me. He sees me. He never says hi.
No.
But no, I...
And you
I
never say hi to him either.
Well, I give him like that, the bro nod. Dude. So remember me?
Oh my God.
But no, man, Hall & Oates is like, it's so up to like, private eyes,
I'm watching you,
missing your every move, baby. I love that song. I love the video where they're in trench coats, like,
yes.
like a bunch of flashers.
I recently saw a live performance of them singing Rich Man.
They're like, Rich Girl.
Rich Girl.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
They're like 70 now.
Yeah, but
does
in the
Oates
video,
still have the mustache?
Today? Yeah. I don't think so. Because
there's an article that came about it. You finish the story, I'm going to tell you about this article.
Okay. But the live performance, Hall was in a huge fur coat. His sunglasses were literally half of his head.
He almost looks like a wolf now.
It was amazing.
An article came out where like John Oates is like, yeah, I had sex with like 7,000 women. I'm like, Hall, I believe.
Yeah.
Oates? No.
No.
Even in the 80s, I can't imagine that many mustache rides were being given out. Like, it's fucking insane.
Hall, for sure.
Yo, Hall definitely was slaying poon, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. He definitely was. Angela would give it up for
Hall. Oh, Angela, yeah, like a young Daryl Oates, or Hall, oh, Daryl Oates.
Daryl Hall.
I can't even fucking speak.
So anyway.
I'm going to say right now, the reason we went off on Hall & Oates, I think, subconsciously, is because this is when the episode hits a snag.
I don't think so.
I think it's insanity, and then this hits this point, and it just kind of levels off.
So anyway.
Oh, personal opinion?
Yeah, personal opinion. I'm going to go on.
All right.
But Pam gets a text while they're watching, and she explains in a talking head that her parents are having issues and that her dad is staying with them, and that nobody really knows. So nobody knows, so Jim and Pam are, like, talking about it. And
Andy has no idea what's going on.
Andy thinks they're talking about the movie. And that, like, Pam's like, they just need to communicate. They need to say what they're saying to each other, what they're saying to everybody else. And Andy's amazed. He's like, oh my God, they are seeing so much shit that I'm not seeing in this movie.
The nuance of the film.
Yes. So now we're back, and Michael and Dwight arrive, and he announces that corporate has given Dwight 2 strikes, and that he must make a formal apology. And he goes, Dwight, do you have your statement of regret? And Dwight pulls out a piece of paper to read from, and he goes, I state my regret. Everybody needs to sign this to acknowledge that you heard me say it. And Phyllis is, like, pissed. She's like, you almost killed Stanley. This is not okay. And great quote from this episode. Yes. Yeah, right. I fell them with butter and sugar for 50 years and forced them not to exercise. and like, nobody wants to sign it. He goes, take a lesson from Stanley and jog on up here and sign it. And nobody moves. He's like, sign it!
He's going to have to earn it.
Yep. So now we're back and we're watching the movie. And Jack Black's character is helping Cloris Leachman out of the tub.
Yeah, it's very sexual.
Very sexual, which... Very
Because those of you who don't know Cloris Leachman,
we'll post a picture.
She was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s. She's 90 now.
Yeah.
She's an older broad.
She's an older woman. I'll just say that. And Andy explains to Jim and Pam that it was supposed to be Nicole Kidman, and it was supposed to be her mother. But, yeah. And while he's explaining all of this, they're, Cloris Leachman and Jack Black are making out
hardcore
in the movie. And Jim and Pam are talking about her dad, and she was like, Jim was like, oh, he was talking to him at breakfast this morning, and Pam's like, she's miffed, because she's like, oh, my dad's talking to Jim, but she won't talk to me. So then Pam, like, not confronts, but she asks Jim in the kitchen, like, what is my dad saying about my mom? And Jim's like, nothing. Like, he's literally not saying that. He's talking about cereal.
Mm-hmm.
So then Pam's like, can you talk to my dad for me? Because he won't talk to me about his wife. Like, he can't talk to me because it's my mom. So now we're back, and Michael is hosting a yoga class, meditation, like a guided meditation.
Yeah.
And he's walking over everybody. He's holding a candle, and he's like, oh, we're through a meadow, and now we're coming up on a castle. And he's like, you can have ice cream, whatever ice cream you want. Shout out your favorite ice cream. And Stanley says chocolate. And he goes, racism is dead, Stanley. You can have any flavor you want. And as he gets closer to Stanley, you hear beep, 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 beep. And he goes, guys, I told you no cell phones. What is that? It's Stanley's biofeedback machine that alerts him when his stress is going up.
Yeah.
And Michael appears to be the source of that stress.
As he gets closer, it like goes off.
So now Michael
it's
backs
funny because
up.
Stanley's eyes are closed.
Yes.
So it's almost like a sixth sense.
He's like feeling the vibes of Michael. So now Michael's like, okay, Oscar, you reach over. He's backed away now. He's like, Oscar, reach over and touch it. And he goes, that's what he said because of, you know, gay.
Because of gay. It's so fucking stupid.
It is so,
it's so
stupid.
It's so devoid of any tact.
Any. At all. So and good. I think Michael thinks like, oh, I'm being equal opportunity here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in front of everybody.
Yep. So then Michael like starts walking over again and it starts going off. So then Oscar puts it on him. And as Michael gets closer, it starts going off on him.
Mm.
And Michael comes to a realization that he is the source of everyone's stress.
Yep.
He is the killer. And that's the end, is Michael coming to the realization that he is the source of everyone's stress.
Yep. And what did you give this one, Mare Bear?
I gave this one a 4.8.
I gave it a 4.5.
This one was outstanding.
Yes, this was. This one was great, and it was... I kind of gave away a little bit before we started recording, but this was on its way to being my favorite episode. Probably the funniest episode of this show. And the back half... Not even half, the back portion of this...
The back 3 minutes.
Yeah, like once Andy, Jim, and Pam sit down from the movie... It goes from this energy, like, this episode had an energy, like a manic, like, it built momentum as it went from the fire drill to Wallace's office to the CPR thing back to Wallace's office. It built up so much momentum, and it was so, like, crazy. And then, as soon as they sit down for that movie, it just stalls out, and, like, it doesn't hit a crescendo, it doesn't drop that far, but it just, like, hits this plateau where you're like, oh, well, that kind of ended on a dump. I almost wish they kind of spaced out the CPR thing. Mm-hmm. Like, put the meditation thing in between that.
Yeah.
And end with the CPR thing because, like, it just kind of ends on this, like, Michael's walking around, like, ooh, there's a castle.
Yeah,
and it's
see,
like, that's lame.
That's what threw me off.
It just ended with a heart.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, the first, like, 17 minutes of this episode were crazy great. Crazy
amazing.
Great.
Amazing.
I loved it. And anything you want to talk about? Characters or writing or anything like
that? I thought it was just fantastic.
Absolutely.
It was just the guided meditation was a little funky. I thought that was a weird way to end it.
When Meredith sits down in front of him, she sits Indian style.
Well, he's like, everybody come in and sit Indian style. Om.
Yeah, and her legs are open with it. Oh, if you have a skirt on, don't sit with your legs open. Nobody wants to see that.
Oh.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, oh my god, this episode, like, I can't do it justice. Like, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, that's what
You just have
I
to
mean.
Watch it. You just have to watch it. It's so great.
Yeah, this one, I and knew Wallace from the beginning man. I was not going to be able to do this justice. Yeah. But I did do my best, guys. I hope I did okay.
Wallace as the straight man is awesome.
He's great.
He's fantastic. So what do you think about the Jim Pam thing? Where do you think it's going?
I don't know, because, like, it's... We haven't really... The only thing we've seen of Pam's parents was her mom coming to visit
when
she was still dating Roy.
Wait, so... Did her parents... Because that was a big thing that her mom came in. Didn't she say her mom lived away?
Yeah.
So why is her dad, like, living in Scranton? Okay.
Maybe they moved back.
Plot hole!
Maybe they moved closer.
But the thing is... This is starting to become a pattern with the Jim Pam thing, where they're not featured as heavily as they were, but when they are, it's like some kind of life-altering thing. Like, oh, they're buying a house. Oh, her parents are going through a divorce. Oh, they got engaged.
We didn't know her parents... We don't know if her parents are going to get a divorce. We just know that they're separated.
They're headed for one, because they're separated.
Yeah, they're just separated right
but
now.
But we're getting, oh, they got engaged. Oh, it's a house. Oh,
well, I think it's because they already went through so much stuff just to get to their relationship.
Well, I'm just saying, I appreciate that it's just dropped in like this, rather than taking
everyday stuff.
Rather than taking up a big portion of the episode.
Yeah.
I prefer that, because I think Jim and Pam get, it bogs down the show sometimes.
They were very, very, like, heavily covered in the first four seasons.
Oh, God, yeah.
So,
which is
why
I think season five has been my favorite so far.
Well, I just mean, like, it's hard because what can you really... You can't really cause drama because they finally got together.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
there's no Roy, no Karen, no
living
away from each other like when she was at school.
Yeah,
or
so
when
now
went to
it's
Connecticut.
Like, okay, like, we're just in a healthy, normal relationship.
Uh-huh.
And you guys get to see our highlights.
There you go.
I like
it's
it
much
that way.
Better that way.
Yeah.
Because that was a big, like, I know I got a lot of blowback, but, like, that was a big source of, like, consternation in the early seasons.
For you.
For me, yeah, because it's just like, oh, my fucking God. like, when you see shit like this, Oscar falling through the ceiling, Stanley having heart attack. Oh! Yeah, Creed. Oh! I want to see this shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the shit that brings me mirth
yeah.
and happiness and joy. And, like, I enjoy watching the show a lot more in season five because of it.
It's amazing.
But
that
I guess,
cold open.
Oh, the cold open.
Won an Emmy on its own.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to top that one. I mean, we have 4.5 seasons to go, but I don't know if we're going to top that one in cold open.
Should have won its own Emmy.
So I guess that'll wrap up this week. So
until
next time, everybody, you know, you want to reach out to us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast, or if you want to send us a long form email that we can, you know, we'll even read it on the air and respond to it in real time, you can email us at brothersisterrewatch, all one word, at gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys, as always, for the listen. Please make sure you share us around if you enjoy what you hear. We always are interested in hearing new people's takes on our takes.
Yeesh.
All right, well, thanks for everything, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.